This evening's second reading comes to us from Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have the first place in everything. The word of the Lord. This past Sunday, we began our annual Lenten journey. Lent is the period of time in the church calendar that starts with Ash Wednesday and ends with Easter Sunday. It goes from the start of Jesus's 40-day period of fasting and temptation in the desert to Easter Sunday as he rises from the grave after his crucifixion. Lent is the special season during which we walk with our Savior as he makes his way to that hill on Calvary, to the cross that awaits, and eventually the empty tomb beyond. And we make that journey in two ways. We make it together, arm in arm with our Christian family, as we worship in one voice, with one body. And we also make it individually, personally, following Jesus. Lent is not specifically mentioned in the Bible as a required practice for Christians, but it is one that most of Christianity finds meaningful and now practices in some way. Originally, in the 4th century, Lent began as a fasting period, as a way for Catholics to remember the importance of a repentant heart. Through the centuries, fasting has given way to the idea of simply giving up something that is important to you. This is usually a food item, such as chocolate. Chocolate is pretty important to some of us. And that sacrifice echoes in a very small way the sacrifice that Christ has made for each one of us. In the past decade or so, this thinking has slowly begun to shift from taking away something from our lives to adding something that is more meaningful, such as increased prayer or Bible study time. No matter what your own practice is during this time of year, whether you add or sacrifice something, the desired result, what we all hope to achieve, is the same and always has been, to draw closer to Christ by increasing and enriching our spirituality. Dictionaries define the word spiritual as something that relates to religion or religious beliefs, which seems like a pretty obvious definition. But once we actually start looking at that word from a biblical point of view, from a scriptural perspective, that definition becomes far too narrow, because for us Christians, the Bible is the instruction manual for our whole lives. This evening, we've heard a selection of ancient poems and prayers that show how the Celts viewed their own spirituality. For them, it wasn't something that occurred only a few times a week or month. Spirituality was something they constantly strived for in their lives. This evening, through Steve's readings, we've seen the hermit worshiping in the woods among all God's creatures, great and small. We have seen older men and women as they worship God by the seaside, as they pray in the closet, or some of them even in the outhouse. We have heard them ask God to fill them with his love, affection, mercy, grace, and will each day and night, in darkness and light, and through all times. Reverend Trevor Miller, who is one of the current overseers of the Northumbria Celtic community in the United Kingdom, he writes, "The greatest discovery was that the heart of Celtic spirituality was simply living the life, following the way, traveling the journey in the everyday ordinariness of life, the pain and the pleasure, the heartaches and the hopes, the disappointments and the dreams. This is of great importance because this is essentially what spirituality is." Reverend Miller isn't pulling this definition from out of nowhere, and while I don't know if he developed it in part from specific scripture, I do know that it can be found in our reading of Colossians. In verse 16, we read, "For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him." Everything owes its beginning to Jesus Christ. He created the visible, matter, everything that we can see. And he created the invisible, spirit, everything we cannot see. He is the origin of creation. Paul not only reminds us here that Jesus is God, but he also loudly proclaims his power over all things. A.W. Pink wrote, "There was never a time when he was not. There never will come a time when he shall cease to be. All that he is today, he has ever been and ever will be." In other words, as we heard Paul write, he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Our own origin lies in Jesus. We have been created through him, and we have been created for him. Therefore, our whole life, every moment, each second, becomes spiritual. Each second is a gift to us that we return in gratitude to our Creator and our Savior. I want you to think of your life as a deep well. Think of each moment that you've lived, each experience, as a drop of water in that well that makes up your life. Bernard of Clairvaux, who was a French abbot in the 12th century, once wrote, "Everyone has to drink from their own well." What that means is that each one of us has our own well of life, filled with billions of drops of water, each one of them a unique moment lived, a personal experience. We draw from that well countless times in order to guide us in our day-to-day decisions. But if we rely on ourselves, if each drop, each experience comes only from us alone, we run the risk of that water turning stagnant. Our decisions become less righteous. But the more spiritual we make each moment, the longer our water stays fresh, and the better able we'll be to make decisions that are healthy for us, and the healthier we'll be in our relationship with God. To return to Reverend Miller, he writes, "This is why it is crucially important that our spirituality must not be seen as a separate compartment marked sacred, whereas real life is lived in all the other compartments marked secular. To do this is to set limits and boundaries on God." What he means is that if we only consider sacred things to be part of our spiritual life, such as praying or singing hymns or meditating, then if we don't do those sacred things, then we don't meet with God at all. Or even worse, if we only meet God through our reading of Scripture, then all we have to do is close our Bible and we close out God. As we pause for our moment of silent reflection this evening, we might think about the coming moments in our lives. Each new breath taken, each new second to be lived, each new drop of water in the deep well of our lives. Every one of them, each breath, every second, owes its origin to Jesus. How might we rededicate them back to our Savior and make all of our life a spiritual gift to him? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.